but not getting the relief. That's the thing that we was good at in New Orleans.
Welcome to Talk Nation Radio and our special on People's Aid for Haiti.
We had to get up and we had to help the people in Haiti ourselves. You know, that means do whatever you can within your means.
It worked in New Orleans and it's working in Haiti already. We're joined by Sunseer Ali Shakur of the ad hoc group Being Able to Move Heaven and Earth for Haiti and 11 other groups, among them Mutual Aid Disaster Relief. That's mutualaiddisasterrelief.org. At about midnight on the 20th of January, Sunseer took on the task of press contact for this group, and we spoke with him just hours later after news of another 6.1 aftershock quake with an epicenter just off Port-au-Prince, Haiti. It's unclear what additional damage this aftershock in the ocean caused, but it sent people running out of makeshift shelters and into the streets in a panic. As he spoke with us, he monitored the news and worried about members of his group who are already in Port-au-Prince and sending back information about the dire needs there. The group consists of doctors, nurses, acupuncturists, herbalists, construction specialists, cooks, communications technicians, and community organizers. They are an ever-growing group. In New Orleans, they hit the ground running, getting there in many cases before the National Guard or Red Cross did. You may remember Sunseer Ali Shakur from interviews with the hosts of Pacifica Network shows like Democracy Now! In 2006 when he was in New Orleans with Common Ground. He will eventually go to Haiti for longer-term relief, but for now, Sunseer is helping get others there. And that's where listeners can help in a wide variety of ways. Sunseer Ali Shakur, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start by talking a little bit about the group and what your organization is, how it works.
Well, one thing I like to say about the group of people that I think they're some of the rarest, most beautiful people on the planet. And I think the amazing thing is we're kind of like showing up the United States disaster relief effort once again like we did in New Orleans. Our group is a small contingent. We started last Tuesday, to tell you the truth. About the same time, I guess, the United States started their disaster relief effort over in Haiti. Within 7 days, all the problems the United States has been having, trying to get relief in and doctors and nurses and all this type of thing in, we have been successful to find a way, not only to find a way in, but we also found a way to get supplies in. And also, too, we have the ability within 2 days of our meeting, we had the ability to be able to ship supplies from the States over to a port in Haiti, medical supplies. Maybe in the next couple of days, we have the ability to ship 1,000 pounds of medical supplies. It's a small group of people, formerly of Common Ground, from 2005, Katrina hurricane down there. And yeah, we're ready to rock and roll. I'm proud of my people. I think what we're doing is a great example of what happens when the grassroots get together and make up their mind that they want to move and not wait on the government to do anything, because you can't rely on the government. You got to move yourself, people.
The website, mutualaiddisasterrelief.org. Explain what kinds of things you're able to do at this point and what you hope to do in the near future.
Right on, sis. We have... like I said, within the last 7 days, our plans are this. Now, a lot of things that we're still putting together, but our plans are we're going to send at least 14 separate teams down there. The team will consist of translators, nurses, and, of course, EMTs and street medics. So we plan on sending able-bodied people that can help with the situation down there, and we also plan to keep on sending supplies as well, and we also have a network in probably about 11 different states, from Montana to Florida, from Portland to New York, fundraising efforts. I have a grassroots organization here called Being Able to Move Heaven and Earth for Haiti, and here in Asheville, North Carolina. We got at least 10 venues set up with over 30 bands planned on the 30th of this month, called the Haiti Palooza. And all proceeds will be going to Mr. Aaron Jackson and Planet for Peace.
So this first mutual aid disaster relief group into Haiti, just tell us about what they found there and their first experience in Haiti.
Yeah, they went down yesterday. They landed in Haiti about 1:30. We were able to get over there through a Christian organization. Right now, the name escapes me. You got to forgive me for that. But we used them to land in Haiti, and they have a compound there. Apparently, the report back yesterday was that the compound was a solid structure with electricity, water. Our people had chicken and rice yesterday, and early this morning, they're getting ready to go on a search and rescue, getting ready to go rock and roll.
Okay, and the additional website is herbs4orphans.org. That's herbs and then number 4, orphans.org. Your organization, the acronym is MADR, not to be confused with MADRE, the Women's Human Rights Organization that also does international aid. And mutual aid disaster relief, talk a little bit more about the types of things that you've been hearing out of Haiti. I mean, we understand that words really can't describe it very well, but please try to tell us what you know.
Well, between the things that I've been hearing on the news, and you got to realize we just got our first crew in at 1 o'clock yesterday, and we got our first report back at 10 o'clock at night last night. So the thing that concerns me the most is that they're doing amputations with rusty saws and no anesthesia on children, men, women, and children. That's shaking me up a little bit. I've seen a report where there was like this mountain of rubble that used to be a grocery store, and he had this little boy who looked like he was 10 years old. He stuck like a dollar ball up under his shirt. The things that the people was pulling out of the rubble seemed like nothing. And the Haiti police pulls up, jumps out, and opens fire on them. You know, so that kind of disturbs me. But we have more with actually what is going on probably a little later at 10 o'clock tonight where Thomas, our point person, he's going to be reporting back. He has a satellite phone there. But they say the communications is pretty decent. Everybody that went over there with a cell phone is able to text. And we also have email ability as well. The other things that concern me is that the U.S. Comfort is still in the port. It's not there. I got a friend of mine that's in the United States Air Force is working security over there in Haiti, and he's saying that the Comfort is not there. The Comfort is still in port. The people, they're lying to us. The other thing that concerns me is how they sent the French away. The French tried to come in. The U.S. sent them away. You know, it seems like, and I'm a veteran of Katrina, 18 months down there. And it seems like it's the exact same thing they were doing to us in New Orleans, is the exact same practice that they're doing in Haiti. You know, things are crazy down here. Everybody is nuts. You know, we got to send military in there, you know, to calm things down and all this type of thing, and take forever to set up any type of real relief effort. Some of the same people that's in Haiti right now, we was able to vaccinate the entire community before the National Guard even touched down. You know, we was tarping homes before FEMA came in there. FEMA was so trifling. We had tarped over 300 homes. They went to all the homes and ripped off the tarps and re-tarped them, you know. Yeah, but they're doing the same thing there. When I drove into Hattiesburg, Mississippi back in 2005, going to New Orleans, I seen nothing but white males in the search and rescue teams. I see a number of white males in the military, Homeland Security, ICE, and the only time we saw a black individual was like 2 months later in the 82nd Airborne. To me, the philosophy seems like we send white people into a black situation so they won't have any sympathy for the people. You know, it seems like they're choking these people off from not getting any help at all. That's why I call my group being able to move heaven and earth for Haiti, because that's the statement Hillary Clinton made last Tuesday. Last Tuesday, our small group of people is in there moving and doing things faster than our United States government. That is something is wrong when you got a $1 billion budget versus a $5,000 credit card.
Tell us about Artistic Evolution, Inc., because I understand there's a dedicated Haiti relief account there. How does that work? I know it's a 501c3, which means you can take your donation off on your taxes. And right. Mutual Aid has a 501c3 status, meaning that that's your sponsorship through which you can have a tax write-off, right?
Yes, ma'am. You sure can.
What did you learn from New Orleans about distributing aid that you think might come in handy in Haiti?
We, the good people in America of good conscience, we have to get up and we have to help the people in Haiti ourselves. You know, if that means calling, do whatever you can within your means. If that means calling your congressman and letting them know that you're not happy with what's going on, the relief effort right now, it should not take a whole week for the big, mighty U.S. government to aid these people, for one. If you can call your senator, protest, you know, like Malcolm said, if you can't do nothing but say, goddamn, say that. Send in money to us, because we're going to be dedicated. One thing, the difference between us and the Red Cross is that we can document almost every dime that we spend visually, you know. The other thing about us is that we can get things in. You know, we're not talking about we can't get medical supplies in. We can get medical supplies in. So that's the reason why you can support us. And these people that went down already and the group that's forming are basically the majority of former Common Ground people. In my eyes, they're heroes, so they should be supported. We worked for over 3 years in New Orleans, and we didn't earn a dime. But we were dedicated to the people. We were dedicated to you, the public. And right now, we are depending on you to help us help the people in Haiti like we did in New Orleans. Me, myself, I was responsible for 6 distribution centers, 2 children's free breakfast programs, and a legal clinic, and helped save a church down there. St. Augustine is like one of the oldest churches down there. It's 175 years old. It's one of the first black Catholic churches in the United States. And if it wasn't for the good people in this organization, they would have lost a lot of things. They would have lost the church. And I would have lost a lot of lives. These are, and just to remind people, these are the same people. This group that's formed now, formerly of the Common Ground Health Clinic, is the same people that went down in Algiers when the vigilantes was driving around and murdered 19 black males, executed them in the street, not for looting, just for simply walking through their neighborhood. These are the same group of people that went into that situation and jumped on bicycles and went door to door and administered basic triage to elderly black people who were scared to come out. So we kind of were ready. This is about 1 million times worse in New Orleans, so we don't know the psychological effects it's going to have on my people. We're trying to set up a clinic so when they come back home, we can debrief them, because that's a mistake that we made last time we was in New Orleans. Everybody just went their own separate way and suffered. Either physically or mentally and spiritually for like over at least 2-3 years. And it's just amazing how the situation in Haiti has assembled all of us once again. We're responding to one of the worst natural disasters in U.S. history once again. You know, we're very deserving of your support. Please look up Common Ground Relief. It would show you that we have took $50,000 and turned it into $2.5 million in 18 months. We took 30 volunteers and turned it into 25,000 volunteers, you know, in 18 months. You know, and the money that we were able to raise, we were able to help 500,000 people. We're talking about grassroots people here now. 500,000 people within 3 years. And we also saved 12 churches. And that's our legacy. And that's the experience from there. That's what just went to Haiti yesterday at 1:30. You know, we were very much worth you guys' support. And we're real people. You know, you can call us if you want. We can give you a blow-by-blow what's going on, because our team has a media person who's going to be filming, taking pictures, and reporting back, you know, so we can disperse it through the media here. Because that's another lesson that we learned in New Orleans. And when I went down to the home of Louisiana, you had poor white people that got hit by Katrina and Rita within 30 days without any help from the federal government, just in case people are under the impression that white skin privilege is worth anything. These people were living in the water up to their waist for a month. And this is the bayou, so we're talking about black snakes, alligators, just all types of craziness, and they was left alone. And matter of fact, when I got down there to help them out, they had Halliburton trucks driving past them with water and food as they stood on the side of the road watching their family, their loved ones' caskets float down the highway. We were able to report on that. Our media team was able to report on that and shame the government into going down there helping them people.
Sincere Ali Shakur, Mutual Aid Disaster Relief Haiti is their group, and it's just mutualaiddisasterrelief.org. Sincere, you know, this is a very devastating time emotionally for so many people who are aware of what's happened in Haiti, millions of people, lives at risk still. In the sense that you know what you're up against, what is it that keeps your spirits up?
Well, actually, we have an idea of what we're up against. We have a pattern of what we're up against, but at the same time, we know that MAD, for short, the whole crew, with all of its experience combined together, is probably over 100 years of medical experience. And we consciously talk about it every night that we're not we will probably never have seen anything like this before. So we're preparing ourselves mentally as best as possible and going in and trying to give the Haitian people the very best of us. And this is the team to do it. This is definitely the team to do it. The people here in the United States should be very proud of the people that's going over there. These are private citizens, you know, and this is what America is about. Me, personally, I'm not anti-America at all, but I am anti-American domestic and foreign policy. But you can't get no more patriotic than this. What we did in New Orleans was very patriotic. What we're doing in Haiti is very patriotic because we're taking matters into our own hands. And that's what I think the forefathers of this country would have done. They took matters in their own hands to be free and break themselves away from Britain. You know, so y'all, you know, the people in America, be proud of your children. A lot of us are very young, except for myself. I'm a little long in the tooth. I'm 39. The majority of the people that's organizing this is under 25. Under 25. So, America, be proud of your young people. We have to take, like Asada Shakur said, we have to take the steering wheel away from these drunk drivers before they kill us all.
And Sincere, just tell listeners what kinds of things Mutual Aid Disaster Relief might be able to do if they donate. I mean, can you get lots of medical supplies in, or are you going to focus on food? What is your primary focus?
A, B, and C. We're going to be raising money for longevity. We're going to be organizing medical supplies to go over there. So we have a camp down there that we already set up in. This camp in particular has about five orphanages around it with children with HIV. So we're going to start there. This morning, Thomas and his crew will be on a search and rescue and working toward another orphanage today. There are new contacts coming through all the time. There's at least two to three different people that we're in contact with on the ground right now where the action is at and need help. As far as like medical supplies and everything, anesthesia, antibiotics, things to wrap splinters. Anything is better than a rusty saw, you know. If you go to our site, there should be all the things that we need on there, possibly a wish list, all the things that we need. But you're supporting a bunch of dedicated people, and they're going to do everything they possibly can, even in the face of all this adversity. These majority young people still made the jump anywhere to go, lend their experience, and lay their lives down to help our neighbors who is just 200 miles away. I'm sitting here in Asheville, North Carolina, and Atlanta is less than 200 miles from here.
And the group is partnered with a group that is based in Delma. That's an area of Port-au-Prince. Very right. Hard hit, right?
Right. The name of that group kind of escapes me right now. I'm sorry, it's kind of early in the morning. You just told me about the earthquake over there.
Yes.
I just woke up to that, so I'm trying to process all that and do the best I can with this interview right now. I'm worried about my friends.
Yeah. Herbs for Orphans.
Right. That's Thomas's organization. And he's been working with Mr. Aaron Jackson. I think Aaron has been on CNN and a few other popular media shows. I think Aaron has been down there more than 10 years working with orphans in Haiti before Katrina. So we figure we pair up with people that know the people and that's on the ground is actually doing something and being effective because we're not going anywhere else but there. And the other thing about this group, once we hit, we're going to search for other places that are not getting the relief. That's the thing that we was good at in New Orleans. I was a relief scout myself, and that entails you go out. Sometimes you get phone calls from people saying that they need help, and you go out and you assess the situation, and you try to get as much relief and resources to that area as possible. And this team can do that. I'm very confident it can do that. We've done it before.
Mutual Aid. DisasterRelief.org is the website. It says we need donations for emergency medical supplies and gear, travel costs for medics and teams to reach devastated areas of Haiti, and efforts at supporting grassroots relief efforts on the ground of all kinds. You need money. You also need involvement, support. You're a group that provides direct medical aid, medical and social advocacy as well. And I know that came in to be a very important thing in Haiti over the years, the social advocacy, because people have suffered there for many, many years. It's not a new condition. You've also been documenting what's been going on the ground and establishing a grassroots structure that will allow distribution of more aid. Just about Haiti and what the transport situation is like. I know that from other members of your group who are heading down there or trying to organize to get groups to go down right now, they've said that travel is extremely difficult. Can you talk about the ins and outs and then also just tell us a bit more finally about the importance of people helping out with this effort?
Right on. As far as the roads are concerned and travel, we haven't been down there about 24 hours. I guess in short, what I'm trying to say is I don't know what the travel is actually like because we're relying on our comrades to call us back and give us all the logistics, everything that's happening down there. From last week when I was watching CNN, I think the port that you could use between Haiti and the Dominican Republic, the first route that we were going to use, normally it was like 2 hours to get to the designated DZ. But now we're talking about it's a 12-hour travel. So most of the roads that would take maybe 2 hours, now it's taking like 12 to get around.
Realistically, if people donate and if they do get involved with your group, what kinds of results should they expect?
Realistically, we have a group of very brave, very experienced people. And we're grassroots, and we're going to help as many people as we possibly can. If you're frustrated with Red Cross, if you haven't been able to cut through that red tape as far as donations, as far as being able to volunteer, if you're frustrated because you're not able to get things over there, we can get it there. We're already there on the ground. I mean, we had the same amount of days as the United States government had, and yet and still we're over there on the ground and actually helping. We're going to be there as long as it takes to get Haiti back on its feet. Yeah. And anyone that would like to, they can visit our website. They can visit the website here at Being Able to Move Heaven and Earth for Haiti, www.move4haiti.org. And, you know, we have a history of humanitarian effort in New Orleans. And like I said, these are the same people that's born us over there now. We're able to document everything that we do, every dime that we spend, and every resource that we give away. And just one more thing, too. We're having here in Asheville, North Carolina, we're having a Haiti Palooza this month on the 30th, where we're going to have at least 10 different venues, including the Orange Peel at 90 Biltmore Avenue, about 10 venues, 30 bands, a big fundraiser to try to get the community involved. Being able to move heaven and earth for Haiti, fund MAD for short, and I wanted to mention that out of all this ugliness, something beautiful did come forth here in Asheville. For the first time, black, brown, and white has come together to organize, to centralize all their fundraising efforts to assist the folks in Haiti. So something beautiful did come out of this great travesty.
What kinds of tactics could be used to keep the calm so that if there are people down there who are armed, and be they military or Haiti police or what have you, they won't overreact and start to use violence? What kinds of tactics can you, as someone familiar with desperate situations and desperate people, recommend?
For one thing, I believe that the people are desperate because they're not getting any help, you know. And poor people, you know, can read whether you are there for them or you're just there for some other, you know, hidden agendas. I will say this, the one thing that saved us in New Orleans, because the 16-car convoy is a Homeland Security. They were very aggressive toward us. The National Guard, we were lucky. We had some good National Guard people in our area, but in general, the National Guard was very aggressive to us. Everybody was aggressive to us except the citizens there. And I believe the reason why the military stopped being so aggressive to us there, the people in Algiers and New Orleans stopped being so aggressive to us there because we set up that clinic. They can be as mad as they want, but they need medical attention. They need antibiotics. They need things for diabetes, you know. They need basic triage. So the medical effort, I think, will help relieve a lot of the tension. But if we don't get help to these people, like, right now, if you don't use groups like us, like, right now, thousands will die. Because thousands have died already. Like I said, I'm not anti-America. I'm just anti-American foreign and domestic policy. Under the American government's watch, 100,000 people have already died and more will perish because there's thousands of bodies still under the rubble, you know, and we can't rely on them. But what we can rely on is each other. You know, the only person that you, I believe, that you can really rely on truly in this world is your neighbor. And we are your neighbors. We are your children. We're your mothers, your fathers. That's the face of MAD. And please support us. Check out our website. Keep track of what we're doing. Also, too, we are down for the long haul. This is not some glitch on the screen that everybody's just running to because Haiti is popular. You know, Haiti is popular right now. So it's all over the news and everybody's all up in arms and trying to do what they can. Katrina, people did us the same way. They were involved for 4 or 5 months, and then all the relief, like the Red Cross and them, pulled out after like 8 months and basically left us down there by ourselves. We're almost no help, so we had to pull our little resources together and kept relief coming in to New Orleans for almost 3 years. People are going to pull away. People are going to get tired of it. I guess in the next couple of weeks, you'll probably be hard-pressed to even get any news that's coming out of Haiti, at least directly over the television. It's not going to be like it is now. So helping us with funds and medical supplies, one, we're trying to build this for longevity. And, you know, we also believe that we're doing this not out of charity, but we're in solidarity with our neighbors here in the West.
The group, Being Able to Move Heaven and Earth for Haiti. We've
yes,
been
ma'am.
Speaking with Sunseer Ali Shakur. You can also find information about this joint effort with Mutual Aid Disaster Relief Haiti. This is People's Aid. Sunseer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sister. Thank you very much.
You can contact Sunseer Shakur at 828-776-0062. He's the press contact for ad hoc groups that are helping the people of Haiti with direct aid. The website, once again, is mutualaiddisasterrelief.org. You can write to them via their website, which is also set up to accept tax-deductible donations. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions. Write to us at TalkNationRadio@gmail.com.